Hello, this is .com and the Den Mondays, which you already know, given you've clicked into it. That was The Killers, one of my all-time favourite bands, Mr. Brightside, one of the great horses. I'm Roger Aldridge. The other guy's Richard Irvin. We're going to work out what really mattered from the weekend's racing. And, Rich, what a weekend it was.
It just keeps getting better, Rog. And preparing for this show this week was so easy because all the storylines wrote themselves. Now we're just going to sit back and tell them all. Let's do it.
Yes, well, the Blue Diamond Stakes was the naming feature of Caulfield on Saturday, and even if it wasn't the premier race, it's going to kick off our Straight Six.
The Straight Six.
Rich, Devil Knight was our winner in the Blue Diamond, and I've got to say, I do love your little headlines here. You'd be very handy in the newsroom coming up with plasmas. It was considered a wide-open race heading in, given the absence of a dominant two-year-old, so it was no great surprise that a double-figure pop won. He's run second on debut behind the race favourite, so it wasn't the worst form line, and he's by Extreme Choice, but I didn't find him.
No, first interesting point. So Extreme Choice has now sired both a Melbourne Cup winner and a Blue Diamond winner in that same racing season. That's quite extraordinary. So Devil Knight, he's gone from a nobody to a somebody in the space of 2 weeks. He'd never had a start 2 weeks ago. They were umming and ahhing whether to run him in Sydney or Melbourne. He ended up running in Melbourne in the Prelude. He was $41 SP. Ran a slashing race that day, ran field of play to about, I don't know, half a length or something. Then comes out and won it. He's now a Group 1 winner. We know he costs $1.4 million as a yearling. He's a very valuable colt. And I think that is a little bit interesting too. Possibly they might not run in the slipper because they might be a bit thinking strategically around his breeding value, being like, look, he's a Group 1 winner already. Do we think he can win a slipper? If he runs 10th in a slipper, does that damage things? So I think they've got a little bit of a tricky thing to work through then, and listening to Vin Cox talk the other day, of course he didn't explicitly say that, but I felt like it might have been in his mind. The last horse to win a Blue Diamond after just two starts was the great Redoute's Choice, Rog.
He's, in terms of breeding though, I mean, he's a Group 1 winner by Extreme Choice, and that bloodline is going to become more and more valuable because of his strike rate. I heard Mick Sharkey, who's not only my near next door neighbour, but also a breeding expert, just saying that he's striking at about 3% Group 1 winners to runners, which
incredible.
Yeah. And so like I Am Invincible is at about 0.8, so it's a massive difference, and he did have fertility problems, so that
he
is
still
why,
does like they
yeah
he only does
that's
like
why the progeny is so valuable.
Yeah. And he gets the best mares, I guess, because he's got that strong strike rate, so they only put the very best to him.
It's like a footballer walking into a nightclub. He just gets the best mares. Hey, the Silver Slipper was the race up in Sydney on the weekend.
This one
a better picture of the Sydney two-year-olds. Obviously questions as to whether Hot Pot Wodenham was given a winning ride by Kieran McAvoy, but sort of take nothing away from the Blue Army. They might have one here in, is it Baywatch? It's sort of,
it's yeah, let's like call a, it Baywatch.
I'm going to go with Baywatch, spelt in with a German twang.
Bewacht. Really interesting race. So Wodenham was, you know, the boom two-year-old, $3.20 to win the slipper before that. I was pretty high on him or pretty hopeful, and I'm pretty low on him now in terms of him winning the slipper. Of course, you can still win the slipper. You need a much longer price than the $4 that's on offer. We'll have a look at that in a second. I went and had a look back, and he got the exact same run in this race as he did. I think it might have been the Lonro plate a while back, or maybe it was the Piero plate. And I guess my point of view is that he had a reasonably tough run in his first start and just brained him, and everyone's like, what a fantastic run. He had a pretty tough run again on Saturday, no doubt, and he just didn't seem to hit the line with any kind of gusto. He kind of wobbled a bit. In terms of K-Max ride, it was such a talked about ride, and there'd been a lot of discussion, even Wallet said, we're definitely going back. And if you watch the sort of the drone footage, as they jump out, he actually jumped pretty well, Wodenham. K-Max could have possibly rolled forward and put him in a better spot, more positive. He chose to go back, which was instruction. And he just kind of got left in no man's land. He's having a tough run, K-Max. We all know that. But
I don't think it wasn't a slaughter, though. I mean, was it
no,
the best
I
ride?
Mean, it's hard.
No, but it wasn't a slaughter.
Yeah, yeah, he's just not having much luck at the moment, K-Mac. And so, look, I mean, on Saturday straight away, I was like, well, this is an $8 or $9 chance for the slipper, Wodenham. He's $4. We'll bring
four
the market
bucks.
Up now.
Just four
insane.
Bucks.
Yeah. I mean,
futures betting is, there is no value in futures punting. And
I say there's no futures in futures, Rog.
I say this on Moody on the Mic. I say it on this show. I don't play futures markets because gone are the days of, you know, you'll be able to get a long range cups horse or something like that. Those days are gone. If you're a punter, then I mean, I don't think the smart punters don't play into futures markets. It's as simple as that because there is no value in it. And yeah, look, if you want to take Wodenham $4 for the slipper, well, I reckon you're costing yourself a fair bit of fat because come race day, he's going to be a lot longer than $4.
I reckon there's a chance they might not even run in the slipper with Wotan. I think they'll be having a good look at it. A bit again is that whole, you know, the breeding value. Don't know, like they're just 1,200 metres. The way he's racing, maybe he's better over 1,400, 1,600. Of course, you got the size produce and the champagne, the Group 1 races after that. We'll just see. Like the plan is to go to the Todman, see how he goes in that. I mean, he'd have to run pretty well in the Todman for them to line him up in the slipper, I feel.
If you think Shaggy is a good chance after that last performance, if you think Shaggy's a really good chance in his next start, which I thought was going to be the Todman, which you reckon it's going to be...
Possibly this Saturday. Yeah, we'll know by the end of today.
If you look at that and think, oh, geez, I don't know, I'd quite like Shaggy on this weekend, then take the 13 bus because these markets are reactive.
So the only issue with Shaggy is he's not nominated, so he has to pay 150 grand. But if he's any good enough, he'll pay that.
I mean, he's a gelding, but you know, in terms of like then the
yeah, future. No, that's right. Yeah, the people who side him or own the mare, of course. But one other quick thing: Apocalyptic King Zone's been tipping at a few other people. Trialed at Randwick this morning, a bit flat. Chris Small, who works in the Den, good judge, watched the trial and thought it was a little disappointing. It ran fifth, kind of whacked away. You haven't had a chance to see that trial yet, have you, Rog?
No, I haven't had a look at trials from this morning.
Cool.
But the Oakley Plate, let's move on now. Let's go back to Caulfield. Let's go to the Oakley Plate. This is one of my favourite races because it's just bloody mad. This was stunning from Jimmy Starr. I was on IME just ahead of Jimmy pre-race. I wasn't expecting this. It was an absolute peach of a ride. Another classic Oakley Plate. I thought I was about to have some serious egg on my face about the 150 because I'm a big Ray Magnero fan, but I openly said he wasn't a Group 1 horse, but this would be his best chance. Still didn't give him much of a show. Thought he was going to win there, and then here comes Jimmy over the top.
Yeah, from the clouds. And it was the ride of the day by Ethan Brown. He was lucky, though, because he was lucky that She's Bulletproof got into the race because it trucked him up. If She's Bulletproof wasn't going and sort of just sat there, he could have just lost that momentum and maybe not have won. But anyway, they've done that. So Dan O's ratings just came up. And as you'd expect, Jimmy's run a new peak rating. He ran 102 up from 99.2, which was his last peak rating. So he's a serious Group 1 performer. Now, the big question is, where does he go from here? I haven't been able to find out. Bit of talk about the new market. I personally don't really think he should go to the new market. I think, I don't know, maybe they head up to Sydney.
The new market's not looking particularly strong at the moment.
I just got a feeling about Jimmy that, I don't know if doesn't seem like they're that keen to send him there. There's a bit of talk about the TJ Smith Stakes. Obviously, he'd be good in that. I just think he's a bit better, flying around off a turn. And obviously, the new markets doesn't have a turn. So, yeah, interesting. But he's got a very bright future, doesn't he? So, she's Bulletproof. Obviously, she was fantastic for Charlotte Littlefield. She's a serious Group 1 contender. She should go to the new market. Have you heard if she will?
I have not heard either way on She's Bulletproof. But I dare say, like I just said, I think it's going to come up potentially not as strong as your traditional new market, so maybe it is an option there. I just touching back on Jimmy Starr and then another Will a couple of weeks ago. So that was sort of Kieran Maher's second string as group two style horses there sort of last season. And now they're both group one winners at their last start. So he's really brought them along. It might also say that we're getting sort of weaker competition across that, but I can't take anything away from another will beat Mr. Brightside last start, and then Jimmy Starr's come out and done that. So Kieran's done a beautiful job bringing them both on, and now they're serious Group 1 contenders and Group 1 winners.
I did tip Jimmy Starr 2 weeks ago in .com in the Den Monday.
You did.
I said, they did it with another will, and I reckon Jimmy Starr will be the same kind of profile. I mean, Jimmy Starr could even run an all-star mile if he wanted to, but it doesn't seem like they're going in that direction, I guess.
He was favourite for an all-star mile 2 years ago. I remember he burst on the scene in like January with a really big win. Everyone was like, oh, this is the all-star mile horse. And then he never actually made it to the race because
he was a bit inconsistent.
Flat after that. But he certainly looks to be at an absolute peak now. You know who's peaking? The horse we heard in the intro. Mr. Brightside, look, long odds on in the Futurity Stakes, best horse in the race. But Mr. B's now a 9-time Group 1 winner. That's one more than Better Loosen Up. So the Hayes family's sort of that was a star of the late 80s, early 90s. And now Mr. Brightside is the most successful horse in one of the most successful training dynasties. Now that should not be understated.
No, it's he's just the way that, he was on the pace then and went to lead and kicked. So few horses can do that at Group 1 level. And when they try to do it, often they just fall away. Like Private Life. You can see Private Life tried to lead him up and is, falling, goes back to run along last. Yeah, I think Waller needs to drop back to his own age group with Private Life. He's tried to make him into sort of a wait-for-age performer as a 3-year-old, which is, great if you can do it, but he just seems all at sea, and I think they need to drop back, stay in the three-year-old category and not try to keep doing that. I know he ran pretty well in the Champions Sprint last spring at that level, but I just think give up on that. Why don't we talk about I Wish I Win? You're in that camp, so I'll let you talk about that.
Well, I thought the two behind Mr. Brightside were excellent. Here's Moods watching I Wish I Win. Now, very reserved, the big fella. Very reserved. Now, he might have been a bit hungover from his daughter Bree's wedding on Friday. And they did have a runner in the Blue Diamond as well up next to the family owned. But just really, really reserved Moods there. I, on the other hand, was cheering at home in the middle of the Channel 10 newsroom with my colleagues wondering what the hell I was doing. It was a really impressive return because Moods was tempted to scratch him when it got upgraded to a good three. There was obviously Linda Meacher giving him the feedback that there was enough given the track to let him go around. And he's obviously had soreness and leg issues his entire life. He pulled up very rough out of the Everest last year. So to come back and do that, and the Moods said to me this morning, he has pulled up very well. So that's a great sign moving forward. And they're going to head to Sydney with I Wish I Win 1,500 metres at Rose Hill next up.
I think that's Golden Slipper Day.
The track and trip where he won the Golden Eagle a few years ago. So, yeah, that was really impressive. Tom Kitten, who ran second, steward note, Tom Kitten held up from the 400 until approaching the 100. So if you think he's been held up for 300 metres at the business end and got beaten a lip, impressive run from Tom Kitten.
Well, I think you put him in your black book, Tom Kitten, because he'll pop up at $10, $12, $14 in one of these big Group 1 races. He could also be pretty short in some. I think you bypass him when he's short. But he could put in a, you know, what he showed on Saturday is he can put in a slashing run. If you see him in a race that sort of, especially this autumn, $10, $12, $14, make sure you have something on him.
Well, take it each way though, Rich, because I did look up his stats. He's 21 starts, 5 wins, 6 placings. Only once has he won at double figure odds. And the rest of the time he's won has sort of been around that, anywhere from $2.50 to $5. So $5 obviously an each way price. But if you can get double figure price in one of those races, like you say, have an each way play.
Yeah, excellent. A couple other... rounding out the race, Evaporate was obviously very good. So he goes off to the Kiwi now. So I think our sponsor, Ladbrokes, actually, or Entain over in New Zealand, have Evaporate running for their slot in their slot, which is March 8th, All-Star Mile Day.
I'll ask Tommy Haggart about that a little bit later, I think. The All-Star Mile market, and you see Brightside's gone back into favouritism ahead of another wheel. Interesting. Reactive. Futures market. I Wish I Win, as we said, it's going to the George Ryder, so he will not be going to the All-Star Mile because he needs a bit of time between runs. Fangirl 550 V. Sistina, she's not going there, is she?
No, no hope in the world.
No. So, Tissue's there.
Tissue's right. Yeah, I mean, I
still don't want to play into it. Still don't want to play.
No, probably not. And just one quick thing before we move on from the futurity. Light Infantryman slashing run down the outside. That I was listening to the Noonan boys yesterday on RSN. They think $26 Light Infantryman in the Australian Cup is a great bet. Hard to disagree with them. They know what they're talking about, those boys.
Yeah, they certainly do, the Noonans. But that is the All-Star Mile mark, and that's going to be a cracking race day at Flemington in a couple of weeks. The Oaks winner, Treasure the Moment, of course, victorious at Flemington in the Spring Carnival in that very race. She's returned on the weekend first up 1,400 in Angus Armanasco. This was an arrogant win, I thought. I was surprised it didn't rate higher in Dan O'Sullivan's ratings when he released them earlier. She was stunning. And this is the run of a filly who's going to win a lot more races at a very high level. Her record's now 6 wins, 2 seconds from 8 starts, and another Yulong horse. And can I just say that since Yulong stopped naming their horses Yulong bloody whatever and started Yulong giving treasure. Them proper names,
they've
started
flying.
To excel. They're flying.
Yes, as you said, so she ran a 99.5 on Saturday when she won the Oaks back in the spring. She ran a 99.5. So Dano thought that that was a really strong rating first up. But so next she'll go in the CUNY, which is on All-Star Mile Day. It's a 1,600-metre race for the fillies. She'll meet Chillicap. She'll obviously be dominant favourite, but Chillicap will be in there and give a bit of race for money. Then she comes up to Sydney when it starts to get pretty
Chillicap
serious.
Chillicap was fine last start, but on that run on the weekend and Chillicap's last week. Moral.
Yeah. But then if you and then bring her up to Sydney, let's figure out who the best 3-year-old on the land is, because she might lock horns with Lady Shenandoah, Autumn Glow, those kind of horses. Aliana's another star on the rise.
Is this she'll go Rose Hill Guineas and then ATC Oaks, you think?
Who's that, Aliana?
No, Treasure of the Moment.
Yes. Yeah, no, Vinery. What did you say, Rose Hill Guineas? No,
I thought Rose Hill Guineas, but no.
No, the Vinery, because the Vinery's just for fillies. But she could. I mean, if they wanted to,
they
you know, take on
Chetomaric bent against the boys.
They might, but yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, there's a lot of the three-year-old fillies division up in Sydney is very strong, especially when she comes up as well.
Which mostly out of the Waller stable.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a grip on it. Like Waller kind of controls everything because he's got Aliana, he's got Lady Shenandoah, and he's got Autumn Glow, and he can kind of place them in those different races. You know, I guess to his stable's benefit. You know, probably not going to have them all racing against each other. There's quite a lot of options for three-year-old fillies up in Sydney over the autumn.
She's the best we've got in Victoria, so it is going to be fascinating when she does go to Sydney.
Do you think she looks like a cup source? Like, can you see her in a Caulfield Cup or something in the spring?
Yeah, I think I could see her in a Caulfield Cup. I'd be interested to see, you know, how far she could stretch out. But she smacked him in the Oaks, and then to come back to a 1,400-metre trip and do that again, that was easy.
Mm. Were there any other arrogant wins on Saturday, Rog?
Oh, I thought broadsiding was arrogant. Ooh. I thought broadsiding was very arrogant in the Hobartville up there. And I thought linebacker going in was the horse to beat. He was terrible.
Yeah.
The ride probably.
Public attention was pretty ordinary. Public attention. Broadsiding going straight past public attention.
Just gone. See, boys, I'll have it from you. Thanks. See you later.
There was men versus boys, wasn't it? And the girls, but yeah. There's only one man in that field, and he's going past the post right now. My thoughts were. So he heads to the Randwick Guineas. We'll have a look at that market in a little second. So he's eerily like Animo broadsiding, like as I like to do. You go back and look at both of their records. He's very much on the same path. I guess the interesting thing is, so Randwick Guineas, then probably the Rosehill Guineas as well. And then he's probably got two or three weeks into his next start, which could be a Doncaster. It could be a Queen Elizabeth.
I think they should go Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a crack. Yep.
Yeah. That's what they did with Animo. Animo ran into Queen Elizabeth as a three-year-old. Out of that race, of course, Swift Falcon, outstanding.
Yeah,
Wayne
I thought
Hawks.
Swift Falcon was very good. Yeah. And yeah. Aliana was really good too.
Yeah, so Swift Falcon, Wayne Hawks, I was listening to him. He said that he hadn't actually spoken to his father and his brother yet, but he thought Doncaster all over looked... Swift Falcon looked like a, you know, Doncaster all over type of horse. There's a lot of three-year-olds that look like they could head towards Doncaster.
It was interesting what Dano, sorry if you're watching on YouTube, I'm just going to have to read this off my phone, but what Dano said about broadsiding, 98.6 rated, nice win, but two lengths short of his 102.5 in the Golden Rose where he was first up into the spring, because this was the same distance where he ran first up in the spring. I thought it was impressive, but maybe it speaks more to what was behind him than given that two-length difference. But I think there's more wins in this preparation for sure.
Yeah, and Aliana, so big comeback for her. And I think maybe the Coolmore Classic, which is a mare's race open to all ages. So she could go in that. She's close to favourite, but so are like Swift Falcon, so are Autumn Glow and Lady Shenandoah and stuff. And that's, as I refer to, the sort of the tight grip that Waller has. The Vinery, over 2,000 metres, Aliana could go to that, which is for three-year-old fillies only. And one last thing on the race, as you pointed out on Saturday, so Zach Lloyd had 5 for the day. I think this might have been number 4 for the day.
Yes, it was. He rode the winner in the last.
Trav Noonan reckons that he is the number 2 in the Sydney's jockey room presently. Big call for a young man.
Yeah, it was fantastic, though. Obviously, you do it in the absence of James McDonald, who was doing things overseas, as we'll get to in a minute. Ram McGuinness, market broadsiding, even money. Lady Shenandoah, $4.60. Aliana, $7. Swift Falcon, also $7. And then Autumn Glow, who trialed this morning at $10. Rich, you had a good look at that trial. How'd she look?
Yeah.
She'll probably run this weekend on the back of that.
Yeah, so I saw the trial this morning. She ran third. Seemed pretty good. Your horse, Schwartz, was in there. Your man, Mytho. Schwartz was good. Won the trial well. So Waller has always said that Autumn Glow will line up in the surround if they're happy with the trial. You'd have to think that they're happy with it. Be pretty brave going against Lady Shenandoah, but maybe they don't mind. You know, they'd be very happy to run second.
Oh, I think they, yeah, exactly. They're not throwing in there to win the race, and Lady Shenandoah is absolutely flying. Mm. As we mentioned, J-Mac wasn't at Rose Hill on Saturday. He was over at the Saudi Cup on Romantic Warrior.
Mm.
And what a race this was.
Look at this footage, Rog. Iconic footage.
It's fantastic. And then so Romantic Warrior goes and they just, Romantic Warrior and also...
Forever Young.
Forever Young. I was just thinking, what's that hit song? They've gone together. It was,
and he's home here.
They've gapped the rest of the field, and yeah, you're thinking he's absolutely home. And gee, it was by a horse who's a lot more accustomed to racing on dirt in terms of Forever Young. Yeah, what a terrific race! What a terrific finish! Take nothing away from Romantic Warrior. He's a champion. Questioning J Max Ride, some people turn it up.
Yeah, I think the person who's questioning J Max Ride the most would be himself. He was, you know, he handled the defeat with class after it, but you could tell he was a bit frustrated. He was actually really, as he said, he was gutted. I think if he could have his time over again, he would have waited another 3 or 4 seconds, you know, which is...
But you're always going to doubt meters. Yourself. If you don't win a race, you're always going to ask, what could I have done differently? But
I think I think what could have done differently is just waited.
Mind,
of course it is. And in his mind, he would, he like, you know, you run the race again, and of course you got the benefit of hindsight, he wouldn't have taken off that as early as he did, I think. I think you can tell he was a bit frustrated that he just thought he was just going that good. They just hadn't quite quicked up Forever Young yet. But anyway, we move on. I put it up on the Den. The Den, with quite a big majority, didn't think he went too early. They thought it was a great ride. And I mean, these are the best horses in the world. And Forever Young is now the $1.80 favourite for the Dubai World Cup, which is arguably the best horse race in the world. So we're talking about the pointy end here.
While we're overseas, Rich, Chartin yesterday, a couple of very interesting races there. First up, the Hong Kong Gold Cup.
Yes, so we've got Voyage Bubble here just in the sort of blue and white J-Mac's on it. So J-Mac left Saudi Arabia. He got on a Cathay Pacific flight. He arrived in Chartin, or he arrived at Hong Kong Airport 2 hours before this race, went out there, and it was in a little bit of froth and bubble at the 300, but rode Voyage Bubble out to the line. So that was the Hong Kong Gold Cup over 2,000 metres.
Voyage Bubble. Just as well he didn't have any flight delays.
Yeah. We were saying...
Well done, Cathay Pacific.
There was probably talk between the Saudi government and the Hong Kong government to make sure that the flight wasn't delayed and he got there. But so Voyage Bubble's a fantastic horse. It's the Triple Crown over in Hong Kong. Voyage Bubble's won the first leg, which was the Stewards Cup over 1,600 metres. He just won the Gold Cup over 2,000 metres. And the last one remaining is the Champions and Chater Cup over 2,400 metres. J-Mac will obviously be back to ride him again. But as I put a howl up on the Den yesterday, just saying, like, how airborne is he? Like, he's redefining the idea of airborne. Like, he's got the whole racing world at his feet, really. And yeah, it's not often that you see, you know, jockeys do what he just did over the weekend, and it's wonderful to see. And there's one more highlight to come out of Hong Kong, Ying Rising.
Yeah, this is fantastic. First run at 1,400, Ka Ying Rising. And I actually thought he was in a bit of trouble about here.
Yes.
And the charges are coming from the back, but he just has another gear, Ka Ying Rising. And
this is the gear kicks in now.
This is exciting because David Hayes has said that he'll travel him. So, you know, we should get to see him in the spring. I imagine probably go towards an Everest. That's the plan. But that'll be exciting because this is a very exciting horse, Ka Ying Rising. 10 wins from 12 starts, I think it is. And 10 in a row, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah, there's 10 wins in a row. And, you know, David Hayes is saying that you can start to talk about Ka Ying in the same breath as Black Caviar. I know you don't like to do that, Rog. So
don't like to compare champions.
You don't have to comment, mate.
I don't like hypothetical questions, unlike yourself, Richard.
Love it. It's all I want to do all day long. now, just before we tap out of the international section, so Rachel King, first female jockey to ride a grade one or a group one over in Japan. She rode Costa Nova in the February Stakes. Great to see. Well done, Rachel.
Finishing off the straight six, let's go to the winner of the day, Pole. You love a pole. You love,
love a pole. Well, I love hypotheticals. That's it. Yeah.
Well, this isn't a hypothetical. This is based in fact. Jimmy Starr was the winner of the day. And it was the most eye-catching run of the day. And according to the Wolf Den punters, it was the winner of the day, and pretty comprehensively too.
A lot of people are tipping him. It's pretty good when a lot of people are tipping a horse and it wins at $10, $11, or maybe it started $9, something like
shorter.
That.
Yeah,
but plenty of $10, $11 during the week. Jimmy is a star. That's the straight six, Rog.
Yes. Let's go now to the stewards in 6D.
Stewards room speed round.
And the Futurity Stakes. Now, Pericles pulled up with EIPH, so a bleed. Needs a vet clearance to race again. Stewards found no reason for private life's poor performance. He just doesn't look up to it like the Guineas champ. Look, I think you said a couple of weeks ago, Rich, maybe stud life beckons. It'd be a hard sell. but I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later, unless maybe they drop him back to just lesser company. But he certainly doesn't look up to this standard. Espionage in the Oakley Plate was suffering heat stress. No surprise, it was 37 degrees in Melbourne on Saturday. Ben Mellon copped a fine in race six for being overweight. Fat shaming, disappointing, $300. severe reprimand for Billy Egan out of race seven for careless riding. So that was the stewards in 60.
Cook the book.
Cook the book time, and technology looks to be doing us a favour this week. We welcome in from Ladbrokes, Tom Hacken, and of course from Wolf Den, Kingsley Bartholomew. Tom, let's start in Sydney, where broadsiding went out an easing favourite. Was there a significant lack of interest from the punters for the Star Colt, or were the bookies keen to take him on? Was there a weight of money for the challengers like Public Attention and Linebacker, who I know we were keen on? What was it? He got out to $2.90.
Yeah, got out to $3 at jump with Ladbrokes, but it wasn't. I'm still not 100% sure what was at play there, Rog. Be interested to hear King's view. But in terms of the money, it did come with Ladbrokes. I think broadsiding is one of those horses who he is a popular horse with the casual punter. He does have a strong name recognition. So in the race, he was our only losing result, despite the fact he was such an easing favourite. He cost the book $329,000, the only losing result in the race. So it's interesting one that it's that drift to me suggests that he wasn't quite wound up for the Hobartville, which is probably a scary proposition for his rivals heading towards a race like the Randwick Guineas.
And well, Kings was broadsiding a bet for you. And further to that, what price would you take it in for, say, the Randwick Guineas? He's $2 favourite in the futures market there.
Just with the race on Saturday, I just think like horses first up, whatever they do, they'll generally, as a general rule, will improve second and third up. So with those other race fit horses, Public Attention and Linebacker, probably mapped to be in front. It didn't work out that as everybody thought. But with the map plus the fitness edge, I think that's why the money came for the other two. But what a great ride. And it was helped by the way that broadsiding really jumped out of the gates, and he just put broadsiding into the perfect spot, Zach Lloyd. In terms of the race, I took $5 Public Attention. I had Public Attention and broadsiding around that $3.20, $3.50 mark. Broadsiding got to about $3, and Public Attention was my bet in the race. I think there's a run in that from Aliana, which I thought was very impressive. And I think $2.20 is very short. About broadsiding in the Randwick Guineas, even though it was a very impressive run. I think you've got other horses, Lady Shenandoah, Autumn Glow, and Aliano, I thought was pretty good odds. So the reason I'm saying that is because everything just went right for broadsiding on Saturday, just got the perfect suck into the race.
And we do see those markets react sort of after a Saturday win like that. So I'd be more inclined to wait for race day. You're probably not going to get much different to $2 and your every chance to get a little bit more, I'd say. Tom, Mr. Brightside ended up going out $1.50 in the futurity. Was there just a wall of money for the champ? And an extent to that, what was the betting like on the place getters? Because Tom Kitten was double figure odds and I Wish I Win was easing given probably the track conditions.
Yeah, he was very well backed, Mr. Brightside, as he so often is. He's arguably the most popular horse in the country, and we know that punters always do find him, particularly in these Group 1 1400 metre races at Caulfield, where he's just got such a great record. So he was another losing result for the book. He was the only horse in the red in this race. Tom Kitten wasn't found really at all by the Ladbrokes punters. He was one of our better results in the race. There was money around for I Wish I Win, despite the fact he was a drifter on race day, $4.50 out to $7. He was still the second worst result in the race for us, but it was all about Mr. Brightside here for the punters, and he's done the job for them once again.
I Wish I Win is a popular horse, as we know, Tommy, but I think he's probably testing the patience of a few, and those that stick with him might be rewarded next start, perhaps. We can only hope.
I thought we were going to get rewarded on Saturday, Rog. I think I had my tweet ready to go, pay the believers. But alas, Mr. Brightside was too tough, as he so often is. I think Tom Kitten was an enormous run as well. Yeah. If he gets out a little bit earlier, he might have won that race. So I think it sets up really well for a lot of these horses going forward. Like, I think having I Wish I Win back up and running is really exciting for racing. He'll go to the George Ryder now. We know who Mr. Brightside is. Hopefully Tom Kitten has taken another step this preparation. So I think it sets us up for a pretty exciting autumn, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident Tom Kitten is not a cat. Kings, what price did you have Brightside marked? I'm guessing it wouldn't have been as short as $1.45, $1.50.
No, it was around the $175, $180 mark. I took $2. Mr. Brightside, but he was very heavily backed. And one of the reasons were, once again, that Fitness Edge, map position, and the other horses, I think, moving forward, I Wish I Win will improve, Tom Kittlin will improve, and Mr. Brightside, he's just so consistent at that level. And I think as Autumn goes on, we could see a couple go past him and really emerge. But Evaporate was a very big run in that race too, three wide on speed, and really boxed on well for four. So when I'm looking at the tapes, I'm not trying to look at the obvious. I'm trying to find horses where runs weren't suited rather than the horses that got the really nice runs. I thought I Wish I Win got a nice run into the race, and Tom Kitten weaving through as well. But I thought Mr. Brightside was really impressive. So like sitting outside the lead at Caulfield, which wasn't an easy job to do on Saturday.
Evaporate's a horse you'd be getting excited about after that run too, Tom, from a Ladbrokes point of view.
Absolutely, the Entain runner in the Kiwi. I think he's going to be mighty hard to beat in that race. We've already seen Team Hayes have some success in New Zealand with Hit a Shock this season so far. So I think he's a horse to beat in the Kiwi, in my opinion, Evaporate.
Yeah, the Oakley Plate, you tipped Jimmy Starr on the Moody on the Mic podcast. I had him second elect. But what did the Ladbrokes book look like pre-race? Because most of these were going around a winner for you, I would imagine, given how open this race was and how open the Oakley Plate generally is.
Yeah, it was a messy racer and a messy book here for the Oakley Plate. There was money for horses across the board here, and it was actually a race where the theme of the day was sort of these well-backed horses that ended up being won out for the book, like a Mr. Brightside and a Broadside. But the Oakley Plate was a bit different, where we had a number of horses running against us. I Am Me was the best backed. It was an almost $600,000 loser. We had She's Bulletproof was a big loser for the book as well. In the end, Jimmy Starr was a very small winner for the book. I was sort of waiting all afternoon for there to be a go for Jimmy Starr. I just thought with these connections, there often is a little bit of a plunge, and it didn't. He was supported, but it didn't come the avalanche I thought we might see. But he's an exciting horse, Jimmy Starr, and good to see him get his Group One.
I was surprised he went up that price, and even more surprised he wasn't backed. So that was an interesting one. Kings, given the weekend results, and you know, saying what a great weekend it was. What horses are you going to follow next start? Sort of not regardless of price, because I know that's how you do your business. But who are you on?
There's a couple in that Oakley Plate that I was really impressed with, the fourth and fifth. Fourth horse, Headwall, didn't get a lot of room and was sort of never really got his chance to let down at all. Ran fourth in the race. And Arabian Summer, off that hot speed up front, was wide and ended up running fifth in the race. Those two, I think, I would definitely be following out of that Caulfield meeting.
What about you, Tommy? I mean, you touched on I Wish I Win. And what others?
Yeah, I Wish I Win, definitely an interesting horse now heading towards the George Ryder. I think from a future standpoint, this Golden Slipper, I think if anything, it made this weekend made the Golden Slipper even more confusing. Woderton, still the clear favourite for the Golden Slipper. And obviously, I think there was an assumption going in that he was going to be ridden the way he was in the Silver Slipper. But I still probably would have liked to see him hitting the line a little bit more aggressively than he was. So the Blue Diamond was a low rating addition. I'm not sure it's thrown up a new contender for the Golden Slipper that we haven't seen before. So I think it's shaping up to be one of the more open Golden Slippers we've seen in recent times. And the horse that sort of I keep gravitating towards is Shaggy. He's a horse that has proven himself a few times now. He's still $13 in this market. I think because of the unfashionable connections, I think if this horse was trained by a C. Waller, a C. Mar, it would be $4, $5 pushing for favoritism. But because it's from the Keo stable, just a less fashionable stable, you're getting $13. And I think it's the one horse that sort of has come out and delivered on a couple of occasions. So I think it's shaping up to be a really interesting Golden Slipper. And I think the jury is well and truly out on the overall quality of this two-year-old crop as it currently stands.
Not that racing gets back page headlines that often, but I think Shaggy does open himself up to a bit of a headline writer's dream should he win a race like the Golden Slipper. Ray, man, just finally, before we let you and Kings go, what was the overall result for Ladbrokes both at Caulfield and Rose Hill?
Well, I don't think I've said this in the entire time that we've been doing.
No, we didn't.
The punters won in both Sydney and Melbourne. It was a consistent day across the board for the punters, really. There wasn't really any races in Sydney or Melbourne that were particularly good results for the book. We had some winning races, but obviously Mr. Brightside and Broadsiding both losing results for the book. Those two were tied up together in a lot of multis as well. So punters, the all-ups were very successful as well. Even a horse like Woderton getting beaten wasn't a particularly good result for the book. So no, the punters get the chocolates in both Sydney and Melbourne. In Sydney, the punters finish in front four of the first five races in Sydney on Saturday.
I was going to say to you before, Kings, that Brightside must have been a dead set fill up for you. Well, given that Ladbrokes lost for the weekend, you must have won a stack.
Yeah, I'm surprised they lost just Sydney. I thought there were quite a few results for bookies, but it's hard and it's hard to know sometimes. Like Broadsiding was $2 to $3 virtually, and they've done their money on it. But I sit here week after week and listen to you, Tom, and it's those drifters often that are your worst way, yet the price still drifts. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. That's why we love this segment, Cook the Book, right here on .com and The Den Mondays. Thank you very much, Tom and Kings. We'll catch you next week.
Sneak peek.
This Saturday, not next week, this Saturday, Australian That's Guineas it. Day at Flemington, 1600 metre Group 1, three-year-olds, set weights. Angel Capital is getting very tight in the market in this one, $3.20.
There's a little bit of news during the week. So Bjorn Baker is sending point and shoot down. What's point and shoot in the market?
Point and shoot sitting on the second line of betting with Sepples at $6. Of course, Sepples terrific last start winner as well. Savag Lee coming after a pretty disappointing run in New Zealand, beaten by
Hit a Shock
and also Bizusto. $8, leave me out of that. But look, it'll be an interesting race. The Australian Guineas perhaps not the strongest. The Blamey Stakes, the 1600 metre group two, set weights penalties for three and up. Zardozzi's in this one. Stepardi looks...
This could be, yeah, this is Stepardi's
very go, nicely placed in the Blamey Stakes. So I look forward to that. Well, the final field in the market coming up on Wednesday. You got the English Sprint 1200 set weights penalties for this one. So that's another interesting race.
Horses in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Estriella won this last year. I think this was the... was it this race? No, it was
the one. So she won this race. Then she
went on Australian Cup Day where she was...
The Sunlight Classics where she ran that huge, huge rating. And that's why she's sort of been close to favourite in every race she goes around. But
yeah, she was disappointed on the weekend.
No more Group 1 for her. Like she can't... She's just not quite up to it.
Well, I reckon she'll go to a William Reid.
She will, but I just don't think... Well, I don't even know if... I don't think so. I think the William Reid will end up being pretty hot because you're going to have a lot of colts there who are going to try and win it for their breeding. But whenever she just doesn't quite seem to have it. They could possibly try the Sangster, which is that 1,200-metre race in Adelaide for fillies and mares only. Maybe she'd be a chance in that. But she's a great horse. I just don't think she's a Group 1 sprinter. She's that Group 2, Group 3 quality.
Right, Adelaide and South Australian Group 1 sometimes are more Group 2, Group 3.
Well, the Sangster's always hard to win. They always send really good horses over to that.
I've got to be honest. The SA Group 1s have lifted in standard in the last couple of years with the injection of additional prize money. Don't get me started on the Perth
Group. That English Sprint, you got Gatsby's would be interesting. Reserve Bank. Reserve Bank's a nice author. And another Yulong horse. That'd be pretty good. What's happening up in Sydney, Rog?
In Sydney this weekend, you've got the Very Elegant Stakes as well. So that's going to be a really...
That's it. One of the most anticipated races in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Chow Wolf, Fangirl, Via. Yeah, they all go at it again. Do you want to... Who would you like out of those big three? Obviously, another horse can
Via Sustainer.
Well. You're all in on Via?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I heard $2.50 was being... that market, as we record this, is just suspended at the moment. I heard a whisper that Via Sustainer might have been about $2.50, $2.60 earlier today, and that's a bet.
I'd say it's down because...
A futures market, though.
Yeah, but I'd say it's because the nominations are coming in as we speak, so they probably just pull it down while the nominations get finalised.
I think she starts 2.10.
Sure. And then we've also got the surround for the three-year-old fillies, and we get to see the lady again, Lady Shenandoah. Yeah, she'll be the dominant favourite in that.
Yeah, she'll be very short. That market's not currently up either. Lady Shenandoah, you would think, will go around at sort of, below even money, I dare say. In fact, I'd be stunned if she wasn't.
Yeah, she was $1.80 last time I saw.
Yeah, it's going to be another terrific weekend of racing, much like the weekend we just had, and I can't wait to review it again with you next Monday on .com and The Den Mondays. Rich, and I really do hope your headline writing continues at this level.
High level.
How long do you spend on it? Because you seem to come up with them, from my point of view, it seems like you come up with them pretty quick. They're pretty good.
Yeah, no, I just watch the race and then I just kind of like...
Jimmy Brings was exceptional.
You thought that Jimmy Brings... In my mind, I was like, do they have Jimmy Brings down in Victoria?
Yes, we do. I had a slab delivered from them last week.
There you go. I knew the blokes who started Jimmy Brings.
If Jimmy Brings want to come on the show as a sponsor and just...
What's that, sorry?
If Jimmy Brings want to come on to .com and the Den Mondays as a sponsor and I mean, it doesn't have to be financial. Just bring us a slab every week.
Woolies,
we record
Woolies
this a bit early for
Woolies bought it, and they probably live in Europe or something. And here's you and I sitting here whacking away.
Just a couple of punters trying to find a winner.
Couple of plotters. There was this thing on Twitter during the week saying who are the biggest flogs in racing media.
Yeah, well done on that.
No, but I carefully looked through it, Rog, and I'm pleased to say that neither of us were on the list, and I think that's a great place to finish.
I want to know who was on the list.
I don't want to champion it because I thought it was a bit narky. Benny Scarfe put it up, actually. And if anyone's allowed to put it up, he is, because he said, obviously, you can't name me. Actually, I'm on Team Scarfe, actually. I think he's good for racing. I don't know.
I will plead no comment on that one.
That's fine. But I don't. I hate Twitter, and it's just such a nasty place. And I don't want to sort of try and promote any kind of bagging in that because I just think it all leads to a bad place.
Couldn't agree more. Although I might go search it offline.
This is a safe space at Wolfden and on our YouTube channel. Please come and join us again soon.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.